Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Once upon a time, there was a hillbilly who lived up in the backwoods, and he had four boys. I mean, these were tall, 6 foot plus, big, strong, burly young men. And one of them threw their outhouse, into the river. And so the father gathered his boys up and he says, "Boys, which one of you threw the outhouse into the river?" Silence. You could hear the crickets chirping, okay? So the father says, "You know, boys, George Washington, when he was a young boy, he chopped down his father's cherry tree. And his father saw it and he brought George and he says, 'George, did you chop down the cherry tree?' And George says, 'Father, I cannot tell a lie. I chopped down the cherry tree.'" And when George told the truth, you know, his father, he didn't give him a whooping. So, boys, I ask you, which one of you threw the outhouse in the river? One of the boys stepped forward and says, "Father, it is I threw the outhouse in the river." The father walks over to him, grabs him by the ear, and begins to pull him out to the woodshed. And his son says, Dad, what you doing? I told the truth. Why are you giving me a licking?" And his father says, "Boy, George Washington's father was not in the cherry tree when he chopped it down." That's a great picture, isn't it? I think that guy needed more than Charmin when he was done, so. The point of the story is that the hillbilly was just trying to get his son to simply tell the truth. And that's our goal for this message this morning, is for you and I who have experienced the goodness of God, what Jesus has done for us, that we simply tell the truth and tell others what we have witnessed, what we have experienced. We are on week 3 of our evangelism series called Real Evangelism. And this morning's message is called Authentic Witnesses. I want to welcome everyone here this morning and our online family. Thanks for joining us. If you've missed any part of this series, you can catch up on our YouTube channel, Radius Church Casper, Wyoming, or you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life, go to the Watch tab, and all of the messages are there. Real, for real evangelism, is an acrostic for relevant, engaging, authentic, and life-giving. And last week, as we talked about engaging, we handed out these business card packs with the Radius invite cards. How many had a chance to give at least one card away this week? Some of you have. That's wonderful. That's great. Keep using those. We have a few left. If you were not here last Sunday, they are free. We've got a table out in the foyer as you're kind of walking out. There's only about a half dozen of these left. We're going to be ordering more. And when you run out of cards, go to the information center, and we're going to keep stocking that with invite cards so you can keep on inviting people. Also, we have our Radius mugs. Those are $5, and then your Radius window stickers you can put on the back of your vehicle, and those are $1. You can pick those up. We'll be selling those through the month of July. And it's just a simple way that you can witness, that you can share, and kind of spread, like, you know, branding. People become aware of that. My prayer is that when people see that Radius logo on your desk at work, or they see it on the back of your car, that when they drive by the church then and they see Radius, that God just says, "There's that place, you need to go to that," and they just pull in and they have no reason why, they don't even know why. So I'm just praying God uses that to bring people to him. All right, let's get going this morning. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, all right? Acts chapter 1, I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. This is 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, and it's right before Christ ascended to heaven. It says, "Being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them to not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, there are two things that Jesus promised would happen when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first thing he promised, he says, you shall receive power. He said, you shall receive power. Secondly, for some of us, maybe you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe that is the new place that God wants to take you. Maybe that's something more that God wants to do in your life, is to give you the power to be a witness. That word power, it's the Greek word dunamis. It means a force. Specifically, it was a miraculous power. It also referred to an ability, a strength. So when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive dunamis. You receive power. You receive an ability, enabling even a miraculous power to be able to do miracles. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of that God gives us the power to do miracles, it's not us, it's Him, but He will flow through us so that we can heal the sick, we can cast out demons, we can set people free because of God flowing through us. That's just incredible to think that God wants to do that. He wants to give us power. That word dunamis, we get the word dynamite from it. The English word dynamite comes from dunamis. What do you think of when you think of a dynamite? Kaboom! You think of something explosive. And we're not talking a little bit of power. We're about something that can totally destroy the works of Satan in people's lives. That's what dunamis does. It's an explosive power, but that word dunamis, we also get the English word dynamo from. And dynamo is a generator. So it keeps producing power. It's not like a one-time explosion that blows up and it's done. No, it's like the Energizer Bunny, okay? It keeps going and going and going and going and going. You and I have this continuous supply of power. That's what God does through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Notice something else Jesus said. He says, you'll receive power when the Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You notice that word? He didn't say you will do witnessing. He said you will be a witness. So all of us are to be witnesses. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a witness. So here's the question. Are you a witness who talks? Or are you a witness who's taking the fifth? No, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to be a silent witness. All of us are witnesses. God wants us to be witnesses. So we're going to take a look at four things about wisdom on witnessing this morning, okay? We're going to look at being authentic witnesses. Number one in your notes, what is a witness? A witness is someone who has seen and heard something and communicates his or her experience accurately. A witness has seen something, heard something, and then he or she, they communicate what they have heard. They communicate it accurately. Seen and heard is found many places in the Bible. Here are some people who were witnesses. Jesus was a witness. Did you realize that? He was a witness. In John chapter 3, verse 31 and 32, it says, he who comes from above, who is that? Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. He was of the earth and is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. What Jesus had seen and heard when he was with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven, he testified of that when he came to earth, and what he testified of, it changed the world. And that's the power of a witness. The things that we have seen and heard and we testify of, that can change the world. It can change people's lives. Another witness was the shepherds who came and saw the Christ child at Bethlehem. In Luke 2:20, it says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. John's disciples were witnesses. They came to Jesus. John the Baptist wanted to know, was Jesus really the Messiah? And they said, and John said, ask Jesus, is he the one? Luke 7:22, Jesus answered and said to John's disciples, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. Peter and John, after Jesus died and went to heaven, Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple, and they heal the lame man at the temple gate. They are witnesses. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, the priests arrested them because many people got saved, and they told them, stop talking about Jesus. Quit. And this is what they say, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They says, we've just got to talk about what we've experienced. We can't not talk about it. That's my prayer for us, that we can't help but talk about what God has done, what we have seen, and what we have heard. Paul, the greatest apostle who ever lived, he was a witness. In Acts chapter 22, verse 15, Paul's recounting his story to a king, and he says, I was saved, and God said I was going to be his witness. God said, you will be his, Ananias said to him, you will be his witness, God's witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And then finally, John the disciple, Jesus' best friend, John the beloved, near the end of his life, he was writing, and back in those days, there was a heresy called Gnosticism that said Jesus did not come in the flesh. He did not become a human. He was not a man. And so John is writing to refute that. And this is what he says, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, their testimony was so strong because they seen and heard. They experienced something. All the disciples except John, who died in exile in a prison, all of the other disciples were martyred for their faith. And they could do that because they had seen and they had heard what God had done. They experienced something. Now, some of you might say, you know, Craig, it was easy for them to witness because they were actually present. They saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. I don't have that today. You know, I mentioned it a little bit a while ago during the word that came forth right after worship. I have seen and heard Jesus. I was 8 years old. I was at home. I was doing a report on rattlesnakes while I was watching TV. Really, I was doing the report during the commercials. And I had very bad allergies, had allergies for years. I'd cough several times a minute. My nose ran so much, my nose was red. And a church said they would pray for me that night. And I met Jesus. Jesus miraculously healed me, took all the allergies away at 8:10, the exact moment the church was praying for me. I experienced Jesus. I saw Jesus. I didn't see him in the natural, but I heard a voice say, look up at the clock. I did. It was 10 after 8, and that's when I was well. And many of us, we have seen things. We've heard things. We've experienced God's work in our life. We have a story to tell. We are witnesses. God wants you and I to be a witness. I think sometimes the world throws our witness out because we're not testifying about what we've seen and what we've heard. You know, if you go to a court of law and you don't testify to what you've experienced, but you're trying to share, well, this is what happened to someone else. This is what someone else did. They throw it out. That's called hearsay. That's inadmissible evidence. And I think that's why the world dismisses us, because maybe we're not aware of how God is working in our lives and we're just not thinking about how can we share. That's why we gave you a couple of weeks ago the handout on how to develop your story, your salvation story, and situational stories that can apply to different things. I encourage you, develop your stories, because that is a witness that cannot be thrown out. Let's pretend you go to a restaurant today to have some lunch, and after you're done eating, you give the waitress a good tip and you invite him or her to Radius. You give him your card, and then you walk out of the restaurant and you notice the light turns red and a car runs the intersection and T-bones another car that went through, and the drivers get out of the car and they're arguing. The light was red. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. And so you stick around because you want to make sure that the record gets set straight. So a policeman comes. He asks, did anyone see what happened? You say, I did. What do? You just tell what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced. When that happens, if that would happen, do you have to go to automotive school to explain how cars work and why brakes fail? No. Do you have to go to traffic light school and learn about red lights and how they change and that kind of thing? No. You don't have to go to special school. You don't have to go to any classes. You just testify to what you've seen and what you've heard. And friends, that's what witnessing is. We make witnessing too complicated. Now, yes, it is good to go to classes. It's good to read books. It's good to practice your story, develop your story. But you don't have to have all this knowledge to be a witness. I heard a story one time about this guy who was stoned, and he wanted to commit suicide. He was going to end his life. So he turned on the oven, and he stuck his head in the oven. Now, it wasn't a gas oven. It was an electric oven, all right? It's going to be real effective. As his head is in the oven, he's going, this is getting really hot. And he starts thinking, hell is hot. I don't want to go to hell. And so he pulls his head out of the oven, and he says the sinner's prayer because some other Christians had been witnessing to him. Maybe you remember last week we talked about with salt and light. Sometimes our witness is like light and has an immediate effect, but other times our witness is like salt and there's a process. It works over time. So these Christians had been sharing, they'd been witnessing to him, and over time it worked, and it took him sticking his head in the oven to realize, I don't want to go to hell. So he gets saved. He asks Jesus into his heart right then and there. And he's so excited because immediately he's not stoned anymore. He is completely full of his senses. He knows what's going on. A little bit later, his friend comes over who wants to party, wants to get high, and he says, no, I can't do that anymore. I'm saved. I found God. And his friend says, well, I want to get saved. How do I do that? And so this newly saved guy says, come here, I'll show you. He takes him over to the oven. He opens the oven door. He says, stick your head in there. He turns the oven on. He waits a little bit. He says, and when he feels the heat coming on, he says, you feel that heat? Yeah. Do you like it? No. That's what hell is like. Do you want to go to hell? No. Okay, pull your head out. Say this prayer. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. You know, and he led him in the sinner's prayer. This guy hadn't been in any classes. This guy hadn't had any training. He just told him what he experienced. That's all witnessing is. A witness is someone who has seen and heard something and communicates it accurately. It's not rocket science, friends. So maybe that's the new place God wants to take you this week, is that you just testify to what you've seen and heard. You communicate it accurately. Maybe God's going to open the opportunity for you to tell your story. Be prepared for that if that's a new place God wants to take you into. That's the first point on wisdom for witnessing, all right? Let's take a look at the second point in your notes this morning. A witness doesn't argue. A witness doesn't argue. You just tell what happened to you. People can try to argue with my story, but about being healed of allergies, but I can say, go to my allergy doctor. You can see the tests. I was allergic to dozens of things, and there was nothing they could do for me. I've got proof that I had allergies. You can't witness with that. You see, people cannot argue with your experience. Witnesses don't argue. They just tell what happened to them. Now, sometimes we think, I've got to know all of these objections that people have to Christianity. Like, I need to know what happened to the dinosaurs. You don't need to know what happened to the dinosaurs to be a witness, okay? Now, it is good to learn about that. It's good to defend your faith. It's good to know those things. But you don't need to know all of that to be a witness. If you're going to witness with someone, and we talked last week about being salt, give an acrostic in there that uses salt. All you got to do is letter S, start a conversation. You just start a conversation. You talk with someone, and maybe somewhere in the conversation you say, where are you at in your journey with God? You do that. That's letter A, you ask a question. So you start a conversation, you ask a question, where are you at in your journey with God? Or what was your experience with God when you were growing up? Or maybe you say, you somehow, you know, they talk about someone who's died, and you just say, you know, have you ever thought about death? What happens to you when you die? Or what do you think happens to you when you die? Are you ready to die? You know, a lot of times people believe in a heaven and a hell. Are you ready to go to heaven? What would you say to God if God said, why should I let you into heaven? You just ask questions. The letter L is listen. When you ask questions about their story or what they think, listen. And then, as they listen, then you can respond. And the letter T is you tell a story. And that's either a situational story, maybe if they're talking about their marriage or something like that, or about, if they talk about, I'm afraid to die, you can say, I was once afraid to die, but I got peace, and I know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. Would you like to know how you can have peace and know when you die, you go to heaven? Yeah, sure. So then you share the gospel with them. You start with your story, and then you can transition into the gospel story. So use salt. Start a conversation. Ask, listen, and tell your story. That's why we want you to work on your story, right? How many have worked on your story? Be honest. There's a few. I see some heads nodding. The rest of you, you sinners. No, I'm kidding. Work on your story, okay? We'll put some more of those handouts out in case you lost them of how to develop your story. Here's how you don't witness. A lot of us, we just talk. This is not in your notes, but look at the screen. We start talking, and then letter A, we begin to argue, and then letter L, we begin to get louder, and then we get frustrated, so letter K, we just kick them. Here's the thing. I think this is the reason why sometimes we argue with people. It's because we get hung up on their politics or their beliefs, or what they're doing. We get hung up on that. You know, we don't like their view on politics. We don't like their view, their false religion. Maybe they're in a false religion. We don't like that. Or maybe they're living with someone. Or maybe they're an alcoholic. And we focus on their behavior. We focus on their beliefs. And here's the thing. Those things are somewhat important, but the most important thing is they are a soul that Jesus died for, and that's what they need. And if you focus on the other things instead of the fact that they need Jesus as their Savior, you're not going to be able to witness to them. We are fishers of men. Now, do you clean a fish before you catch a fish? No. You first got to throw it out, catch the fish. When you've caught the fish, then you clean it. And so many times, we try to clean people up before they come to Jesus. Quit living in sin. Quit doing this. Stop thinking this way. Stop believing that. You need to get clean before you come to God. And that's not how it works. Friends, you be a fisher of men, and Jesus will let you catch them, and then he'll have his Holy Spirit clean them. His Holy Spirit will convict them of sin, and he'll work on issues. I know my parents, we grew up in a mainline denomination. They taught that you had to be baptized to get to heaven. You had to take communion to get to heaven. You had to do all these different things the church taught to get to heaven. And when my mom realized, no, you need to be saved, she became saved. But a lot of the false beliefs, the wrong doctrine, she still held on to that. And if people would have attacked those things before, she would have just shut them down. So make sure you're letting the Holy Spirit clean them. We shouldn't be shocked when a sinner sins. You know, sometimes someone says, well, you know, I've been a drug addict since so-and-so, or I've been in adultery, that kind of thing. We go, I can't believe they did that. Friends, Jesus wasn't shocked at sin. The woman caught in adultery, you know, he wasn't shocked by that. The Samaritan lady who had had five husbands and she was living with the guy now, you know, that didn't, Jesus just go, oh my goodness, I can't believe you've done that. No, Jesus was not shocked by sin. We shouldn't be shocked by sin. Let me put it this way. Dogs bark, cats meow, sinners sin. Let's put it another way. Hunters hunt, liars lie, golfers lie. Some of you said lie, yeah. Golfers do lie, but they're supposed to golf, okay? And sinners sin. Yeah. So it shouldn't surprise us when sinners sin. And don't feel you've got to argue and you've got to clean them up. No, you just share your story, witness, communicate what you've seen and heard, and let God work on their heart and draw them to Him. Let's look at number three. The third point of wisdom about witnessing is witnessing is fun. Witnessing is fun. It's a lot of fun to share your story, to share your testimony. How many have ever had a chance to witness before? And how do you feel when it's done? It's like, woo, it's fun. It's fun to tell your story. Pastor Robert Morris, he shares how he was at a restaurant and afterwards, instead of the server taking your ticket and your credit card and paying for it and bring it back, you had to stand in line. So he's standing in line. And while he's in line, he's not thinking anything about God or the gospel, and he gets up to pay it, and he hands the guy his credit card and the receipt. The guy had his head down, and God says to him, ask the guy if he wants to get saved. And Robert says, that's not usually how I witness, okay? You usually don't just, boom, lead right into that. And so Robert says, have you ever wondered how to be saved? And the guy looks up, and he says, yes, I've been reading the Bible for 3 months and I can't figure out how to get saved. I want to get saved. See, the Holy Spirit just prompted that on his heart. The Holy Spirit opened the door. And there's times when the Holy Spirit opens the door and it is fun to walk through those doors. So be ready to share what you've seen and experienced as the Holy Spirit opens those doors. It turned out that that guy at the cash register was actually the owner of the restaurant. He got one of his other workers to come and man the till. He went, he says, hang on, let me get my wife. And they went off to the corner. Robert shared with them how to be saved, and they both received Christ as their Savior. Witnessing is fun. We've got ushers. If you want to pass out the gift, I have a gift. I want to give to every person here, okay? Go ahead and pass these out. You're getting there's a little saucer that's going to be coming by. And it has a lead fishing weight in it, a lead fishing weight. And so everyone take one of these. It's really tiny, I know. It's really tiny. And I want to encourage you to maybe put it in your pocket or put it in your purse, okay? Now, a couple of disclaimers here. After you've touched the lead, don't put your fingers in your mouth. Also, keep it away from children and pets, okay? You don't want them eating lead, all right? Now, some of you might be thinking, the reason I'm giving you this gift of a lead fishing weight is because a few weeks ago we talked about being relevant fishermen. And so this is to remind you of being a relevant fisherman. No, that's not the reason why. Here's the reason why. You want to know why I'm giving you this? Because there are so many times I've heard people say, well, I just don't feel led to witness. So, are you feeling led? Okay, you're feeling led. You can now witness. You have no more excuses. Let's look at number four this morning, okay? The fourth and final point on wisdom for witnessing. Christ empowers us for witnessing. Christ empowers us for witnessing. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, we're going to read this again. Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Friends, we need power for witnessing. That power comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you receive power, you'll be witnesses, you will have power. Now, some people say, I don't really want to be Spirit baptized because I'm not really into this tongue-talking thing. Here's the thing, when you're Spirit baptized, you will speak in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, when they were filled and they were speaking in other tongues, the people thought they were nuts. They thought they were drunk. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. They thought they were drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk. This is what Joel prophesied about, that God would pour out his Spirit. He said this, the speaking in tongues is that which Joel talked about. The tongues is the outpouring. Now, here's the thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will receive tongues, but that's not the main purpose of Spirit baptism. The main purpose is power to witness. We just celebrated the 4th of July. I love the 4th of July. The 4th of July, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? For our freedom, right? We're celebrating our freedom, our independence, how God has blessed this nation, and that we were born here, we live here, God's brought us to this place of abundance and freedom. That's the purpose of the 4th of July. Now, the 4th is different from every other holiday because, you know, it's different from Easter, from Christmas, Thanksgiving, because there's no fireworks. But there's fireworks on the 4th of July. That's kind of like the one sign of the 4th of July is the fireworks. You can go to many different cities, and some cities really do it up big. The hometown the town that my wife, her parents lived in for over 20 years, it was a little town of 800. They had a pancake breakfast in the morning that was donation basis. And this was in Iowa, so they were pig farmers, and you just didn't get pancakes. You got bacon and sausage, and I mean, it was good, okay? This wasn't your Jimmy Dean stuff from the store. This was fresh, all right? Then they had a parade for the kids, and you went to the park, and of course, at the park, they had barbecue pork sandwiches. We're in Iowa, all right? And they would have carnival games, and they had bouncy houses. They had mud volleyball tournaments. They had a tractor pull, and at night, they had a demolition derby, and the population of the town, like, tripled. And then afterwards, there was fireworks. Now, the town I grew up in, 45 minutes away, they did nothing except fireworks, all right? Every community you go to, they might do several things or one thing or very few things, but every community does fireworks. That's the sign of the 4th of July. The purpose is independence. The sign is the 4th. And friends, that's Holy Spirit baptism. The purpose is power. The sign is speaking in tongues. When you receive Spirit baptism, you'll receive a supernatural power and a supernatural language. And some of us have been scared off by the supernatural language part. Maybe you've got fear. Maybe you grew up like a secretary I had when I was pastoring in Iowa. She grew up and her dad was a Baptist minister who taught her it's of the devil. It's inspired by the devil. You don't want to do it. And she had a hard time receiving Spirit baptism because of the fear, because of the erroneous teaching. Maybe some of you, you're afraid that when you get it, you're going to just start shaking and lose control, or you're going to be made an idiot out in public. No, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He won't do that. Some of you, maybe you've asked before and you haven't received. And he says, you know what? I tried and it didn't happen. It's useless. It's not for me. Friends, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for it. That word wait, it means to delay, it means to tarry, it means to continue and to expect. And so if you ask God for Holy Spirit baptism and you don't receive it, you are to keep waiting and asking God, continuing and expecting to get it. You don't quit. You keep waiting and you don't give up. This morning, God wants us to receive power. You know, I've had some people say, Craig, why do I need Holy Spirit baptism? Because I've seen churches and people who receive Spirit baptism. They believe it and talk about it, yet they're not really witnessing and winning the lost. But people that don't believe in Holy Spirit baptism, that it's a second experience from salvation, and yet they're really winning people, and people are getting saved, and they're coming to their church. Why the difference? One's supposed to have power, but they're not seeing anything happen. The other group who's not Spirit baptized is seeing something happen. Last week I was praying about that, and I felt God give me an illustration. He says, Craig, there's a reason why people who are Spirit baptized are not seeing anything happen. The reason is because they're not looking for opportunities to use the power. Here I have an electric saw. Now, if I plug this in, I've got power. But if I never look for an opportunity to use the power, I'm not going to see anything happen. I'm not going to cut any wood. It's just going to sit there and do nothing. But there are other people who don't have the power. And they say, but I am looking for an opportunity. God, use me. God, help me to be a witness. And because they're looking, God brings them an opportunity, and they're able to cut wood. They're able to do it because even though they don't have power, they're looking for opportunities to be a witness. And here's the thing. Do you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, you don't need it to get to heaven. Okay? If someone tells you you need to be baptized in the Spirit, you need to speak in tongues to get to heaven, that's wrong. You just need to confess your sins, repent of your sins, make Jesus the Lord of your life. That's about salvation. Spirit baptism is about power. And you don't need it to get to heaven, and really, you don't even need it to witness. Because I know people who don't have it and witness, but here's the thing. Jesus said, wait for it. Expect it. Tarry for it. Why wouldn't I want everything that Jesus wants me to have? Jesus wants to have the power that comes from being baptized in the Spirit. Why wouldn't I? How many would rather saw by hand or saw with a power saw? Now it depends. If you want to work out, yeah, do this. But if you're trying to build a shed or a house or something, hey, you're going to make a lot more progress with this. We need to desire the power and look for opportunities. Because God has saved you and He's called you with a holy calling, and He wants you to be salt and light. He wants you to be relevant fishermen and authentic witnesses who just communicate accurately what they've seen and what they've heard. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank you for saving us. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying and changing our lives. You have been so wonderful. Help us to be your witnesses and tell about what you've done for us. Help us to communicate what we've seen and heard and experienced. Maybe some of you this morning, or those of you who are watching online, you haven't seen and heard and experienced God. God seems distant. He seems far away. I know that before I became a Christian, even though I went to church, God seemed a million miles away. Something was wrong, and that was my sin. God knew that my sin separated me from him, and the only thing that takes away our sin is when we realize that we're sinners and that Jesus died for us, that our good works can't save us, that we need to repent of our sin and ask God to come into our lives. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him. I will eat with him and he with me." Sin keeps the door shut. But when you say, "God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I surrender my will. Jesus, you can be in charge. You come into the house and you be my leader." When you do that, you can be saved and you can experience God's love and his relationship and his forgiveness. Maybe you're here or you're watching online and you'd say, "I need to be saved. I want to be saved." You don't have to go stick your head in the oven, okay? You can just say a prayer right now. We're going to say that prayer together. But how many would say, "I want a relationship with God. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be saved from my sin. I don't want to go to hell." Just put your hand up. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else today? Anyone else this morning? If you're watching online and God's speaking to your heart, you can just go ahead and put your hand up wherever you're watching. If your living room, your bedroom, wherever it's at, your family room, just go ahead and put your hand up this morning. I want all of us to say this prayer together, right? We're going to say this. I don't want anyone praying alone. Lord God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all I've done wrong. I open my heart to you. I want you to come in. I turn away from my sin, and I give you control of my life. I receive your forgiveness and your leadership. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for loving me. Now help me be a witness for you. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.